This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday, folks. I'm broadcasting to you from New York City. And it's not paste picante sauce either. New York City. Quite the town. You know, it's interesting for a day or two. I can't wait to be on a big old plane. Silver wings pointed west tonight. I'm back at the ranch. But it's been interesting. Media, TV, radio, meeting lots of people. And I want to tell you, by the way, I'm about 2 months behind. I'm about a year behind after this year. Truck wreck, house wreck, you name it, running the ranch. But I am about 2 months behind on answering your correspondence. Many of you who write to the book sites, the ThreadsWestSeries.com site, the ReedLanceRosenthal.com site. And I have not been the greatest on Facebook either. I usually try and do that two or three times a week, but the last 6 months have been about once a week. So I just want to let you know that over the course of the next few weeks, I'm going to answer every single post, every single letter, every single inquiry, most of which have to do with books 4 and 5. I can't blame you. And I will get the answers out to you. We're going to have some blogs coming out, some fun stuff. So it is nice to kind of be back in the saddle. I'm going to be posting some pics too, some of the before and after pics of the house wreck where the water pipe burst March 1. The final work, I hope, is going to be done this coming week. You know, we put in the front door, an $1,100 custom front door, paid for, thankfully, by insurance, amongst the many, 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 many other items paid for by insurance when you basically take a house down to the dirt underneath 7 floors dating back to 1868. And I got to tell you that, you know, nothing is ever smooth, right? Construction, which I've done off and on for many, many years, relative to the ranch and other things, nothing ever goes right. You can't plan for really any contingency. So we get this front door. Double glass, full skylights, for those of you that know what that means, kind of a French door fixed on one side. Beautiful door. And there's like three of us working on it for 5 hours. This was last Monday, I believe it was, a week ago Monday. And the door gets in, and we had to rip out some logs over the door, and the patio had been repoured, so it drained away from the house, and I mean, it was a project, trust me. We get it all in. It's square and it's plumb, much more so than the 1868 ranch house. And we put in the door hardware. You know, you can't make this stuff up. We put in the door hardware, and guess what? The manufacturer had two major screw-ups in this rather expensive custom front door. Number one, when you have fixed glass on one side, you know, the bolts go up kind of into the frame, and the bolts go down to the frame to fix that side of the door. The other door swings, has a knob on it, etc. Well, the threshold set screws, for those of you who know what that is, those are screws that are in the oak threshold that runs along the bottom underneath the doors and seals it up weather tight. They're adjustable, but they cannot be removed. They have locking mechanisms. And if you do remove them, you have a total screw up with the threshold, then you have a real problem. And it seems that the factory in this custom door set a threshold screw right under the bottom bolt mechanism on the fixed door. So that's a major problem because you can't fix the door. And then the doorknob and the bolt for the door, we get that all in. And, you know, who would ever think of this? But the routings that it goes into on the fixed door, which, of course, we couldn't close all the way anyway, were 4 inches off. That is, the routings were 4 inches lower, both for the bolt and for the doorknob. So on Tuesday, I have the lumber folks, who have been quite good about it, coming out with a brand new custom door that they rushed to build. We're going to have to take this other door out that took half a day to put in, and then put the new door in. Anyway, you know, and the beat goes on. But enough of my woes. I promised you a show, and whether I'm in New York or not, I'm going to do that show for you. and I'm using a microphone that I normally don't use, obviously, since I'm on the road. So excuse any scratchiness or breathing or whatever. It is what it is. Since I had some emails, I mean, far be it from liberals and progressives to post on the website where they might be tracked or somebody might recognize them or whatever. I mean, we don't have that kind of courage. I told you I got a number of emails contesting all the things that I had said concerning Obama's acts. These are acts. Acts and lack of acts. I think there were over 50 of them. And that was on last week's show. You should listen to him about the Mideast and relative to his policy related to Muslims. And this all stemmed from Ben Carson's comments, taken out of context by liberal media, that a Muslim should not be president of the United States, or at least a Muslim who believed in Sharia, since Sharia is antithesis to the Constitution, and it is. Well, anyway, they challenged challenging the Cairo speech in 2009, the bombing of Libya, the withdrawal from Iraq, the trade for Bergdahl. I mean, you know, I had a long list. So I promised that this week I would have some inside information for you on his peopling of sensitive, very high-level positions in the United States government, including the security apparatus of the United States government, of radical Muslims, Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers, and his support of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I would have all that, shall we say, done in such a way that nobody could refute it. And then you folks, because I have a lot of faith in your intellects, unlike the progressives, you folks can take all these dots I've given you over 2 weeks. And my producer, by the way, hopefully is going to have links to several former shows, some year, 2 years ago. One was on appointees to the White House advisory staff paid for by your tax dollars who are Muslims and supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, some of them were members of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, of course, of Uma, who is Secretary Clinton's right-hand lady, whose parents are heavily involved in the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, we're aware of Valerie Jarrett, who was born in Tehran, Iran, the right ear of the president, who is a Muslim. It is what it is, folks. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. You can say whatever you want, but 2 + 2 = 5, and 2 + 2 = 3. Now, let me go one step further than the two shows that are going to be posted in the write-up today. One is an interview with Claire Lopez, who is an expert on Islamists. And by the way, the definition of Islamist is not only terrorist, somebody who resorts to violence to promote the spread of Sharia. It is somebody who, using, shall we say, coercive and subversive means without violence, promotes the spread of Sharia. That is the true definition of an Islamist. So the Muslim Brotherhood, besides spawning a number of terror organizations, being the granddaddy of a number of terrorist organizations, are Islamists. It is an Islamist organization. Except that it has published a white paper on how to overthrow Western civilization from within, including by migration. In fact, there's some quotes here from some of the people who are in the White House, in the National Security Council, that I'll be acquainting you with today, over and above those I've acquainted with you previously, who talk specifically about the fact that the replenishment of Islam and Sharia is through migration. And what do we have going on in Europe and the United States right now? Muslim migration. Wow, this must be a coincidence. So, and what do we have from the White House? A hugely relaxed immigration policy by executive fiat. Must be a coincidence. So first of all, let's start off with a little foundation. There's a smoking gun document that many believe proves Obama has Muslim Brotherhood ties, strong Muslim Brotherhood ties. And in fact, this was exposed June 10th, 2015. There was a secret presidential directive. By the way, you guys can Google this up. You can snope it out. You can do whatever you want, you Doubting Thomases. And you'll see that what I'm bringing you is the facts, Jack. Then you can rationalize it any way you want, because that's what you folks do. The Obama administration has an official policy of backing, quote unquote, moderate Islamists. Let's be clear. There's no such thing as a moderate Islamist. Do you remember the definition I just gave you? There is no such thing as a moderate Islamist. Whether they resort to violence or whether they resort to, quote, peaceful coercion and infiltration, their goal is the same, the spread of Sharia, the stamping out of all infidel doctrines. So, the document, by the way, and this was written up in the Washington Times, feel free to check it out, is Presidential Study Directive 11, or PSD 11. Just so you know, the governments of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates officially consider the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. But this directive shows the White House considers the group a moderate alternative to ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Anyway, there is, as we discussed, no moderates when it comes to Islamists. It's just a question of tactics, shall we say. So a former federal prosecutor, Andrew McCarthy, he's written extensively on the subject. And by the way, I'll give you a quote from his writings. Quote, there is no such thing as a moderate Islamist. Gee, where have you heard that before? And Claire Lopez, once again, her interviews are posted down below. You can listen to them from a year and a half ago when I was beating the drums on this. She's a high mucky-muck for the Center of Security Policy, been in the CIA, etc. She says the same. Quote, Claire says, the Muslim Brotherhood is a jihadist organization. Remember, jihad can be through coercion, infiltration, and migration, or it can be through acts of violence. From the day of its founding and remains so to this day. And she's noted as one of the foremost experts, I might add, on Islamists. Both radical, extreme, and there's no such thing as benign. Why don't we say coercive and infiltrative? So, the Muslim Brotherhood, ISIS, Iran, all of them seek the same thing, folks. Islamic governance and enforcement of Islamic law or Sharia. That's a quote, by the way, from Claire Lopez. Frank Gaffney, he's a former Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. He's the president for the Center of Security Policy, said PSD 11 is part of a series of quote-unquote mistakes. Once again, this is opinion, not fact. I don't think it's mistakes. I think it's totally intentional and part of a plan. He's kind, though. A series of mistakes that were the consequence of embracing, legitimating, funding, and even aiming and arming the Muslim Brotherhood. If you remember, by the way, what he's talking about is when the Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt through coercive and peaceful means, and were later thrown out by 36 million Egyptians in the streets. They received $1.5 billion in military aid, including Phantom fighter jets. The current secular government of Egypt, because they threw the Muslim Brotherhood out, has received nothing. That's one of the reasons they're meeting with Russia, in Russia's play to shift the axis of power. But more importantly, if you listen to my show last week, to bring down the dollar as reserve currency of the world. You can't take all these acts and lack of acts Because each one is a choice, unless it is a choice. No human being is capable of making 50, 60, 70, 100 calamitous material, quote-unquote, mistakes over the course of 3 or 4 years when each, quote-unquote, mistake has a definite and converging end, an agenda, part of a larger plan. Anyway, McCarthy, who, by the way, is also a New York Times bestselling author, he is talking about his book, by the way, was 2010, bestseller, The Grand Jihad, How Islam and the Left Sabotage America. Do you remember that I've been talking in a number of shows about the Unholy Alliance? Go back in the archives. I have a show, in fact, called The Unholy Alliance between the progressives, i.e., the far left, the communists, and the Islamists. It is a definite alliance against capitalism, Western values, and American values. Look, McCarthy told WND in an interview not too long ago, I believe it was in the first part of June 2015, the Muslim Brotherhood is not moderate, nor in its theoretical orientation, and, as we've seen in Egypt, not in practice when it has a chance to govern. And it is simply a fact that many of the world's most violent and influential jihadists got their start in the Muslim Brotherhood. It is a gateway to violent jihadism. Not in all cases, but in many. Anyway, he also sounded the alarm, was one of the first, I might add, to sound the alarm about moderate Islamists starting to be introduced into high levels of the United States government by the Obama administration, which is basically Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett. And, you know, he goes into great detail. The book is worth reading, I might add. The book is worth reading. So that's a little background, you know, a little foundation for you. Muslim Brotherhood, the PSD 11 directive by the president, the actual acts and lack of acts that the president has taken to support the Muslim Brotherhood, in fact, against our greatest Arab ally in the Mideast, Egypt. And now I'm going to tell you about some Sharia advisors. You know, Barack Obama's Muslim appointees. Once again, refer to the other shows. I've tried not to duplicate here. I've only picked 3 or 4 as examples. There are dozens. Dozens. And if you listen to my previous shows, I name, I believe, in one 10 and another 6. High ranking. I mean, in the White House. Whispering in the president's ear. Advising the CIA, advising the FBI, advising Homeland Security, and holding positions in Homeland Security. Anyway, let's start off with a gentleman by the name of Arif Alikhan. That's A-L-I-K-H-A-N. By the way, feel for, you know, look this up on Snopes. Google it all you want, you Doubting Thomases, you progressives who like to write letters. And then please write me a letter and tell me where I'm wrong. So, he is the Assistant Secretary for Policy Development for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. I'm not making this up, guys. And, of course, aided and abetted by the socialists and the Marxists in Congress and, of course, in the White House. He was the former Deputy Mayor of Homeland Security and Public Safety for the City of Los Angeles. He was responsible for derailing the Los Angeles Police Department's plan to monitor activities within the Los Angeles Muslim community. He was appointed as Assistant Secretary for the Office of Policy Development by Barack Obama in 2009. And he was a professor of Homeland Security and Counterterrorism in 2010. Anyway, he was an opponent of Bush's prosecution of the war on Islamic terror. He basically derailed the LAPD's efforts to monitor for Muslim extremism, violent jihad in Los Angeles. Janet, he was appointed, by the way, to the Homeland Security position by Janet Napolitano, who was, of course, appointed by Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett. And 13 days prior to his DHS appointment, he is a devout Sunni Muslim, by the way. He had participated in a Muslim Public Affairs Council fundraiser, which was titled Be the Change. I wonder what change he's talking about. All right, so to go a little bit further on this, he's the son of Pakistani immigrants. He served for 7 years as a federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles, specializing in computer crime. It's funny how all this kind of ties in with Hillary's server and emails and all sorts of stuff, Benghazi. I mean, you know, I can't draw direct lines between it, but boy, there's a lot of smoke sifting around in a wind that's blowing in the same direction, if you know what I'm saying. So, he's appointed to this critical Homeland Security position. And whether or not it has to do with Obama's inside ideologies or Obama's, we'll be kind, sympathies toward Muslims, as written about by Obama in his own book. This gentleman, Arik, you know, his background is deeply rooted in Muslim ideology, period. He has links to the Muslim Brotherhood, who, by the way, in their white paper say they wish to destroy the United States. That's a quote from the white paper. This is the same Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, to give you a few more dots, that Barack Obama's brother, Malik, helps finance. And that the Egyptian media has claimed Barack Obama is actually a secret member of. By the way, there's a rumor that one of Barack Obama's foundations, founded by Malik, is tied to actual funding of terrorism. I can't confirm that. So I'm just throwing it out there, as I've seen the rumor more than once, but am unable to confirm. Okay, then we have a gentleman by the name of Mohammed Elibarary. That's Elibiary. Mohammed Elibarary. He's a Homeland Security advisor appointed by, oh yes, that's right, Barack and Valerie. He's an Islamic cleric, folks. Now, an Islamic cleric by definition is a follower of the Quran. And the Quran by definition says Sharia law is what must be followed, and anybody who does not is an infidel. And the Quran, of course, talks about jihad, both peaceful, both and violent. By the way, this gentleman is an admirer of the late Ayatollah Khomeini. He's advised numerous law enforcement organizations on homeland security. He was named by Obama to Obama's Homeland Security Advisory Council in 2010. He leaked classified documents in an effort to promote the notion that Islamophobia was widespread. He's a Texas-based Islamic cleric. He founded the Lone Star Intelligence LLC, a security crisis consulting firm, and the Freedom and Justice Foundation, FNJ, a Muslim nonprofit group, which was established, by the way, in November 2002 to, quote, promote a centrist public policy environment in Texas by coordinating the state-level government and interfaith community relations for the organized Texas Muslim community, unquote. I think I can see behind that. Can't you? FNJ, by the way, played a key role. They lobbied for passage of Texas Halal Food Law. That is Texas's first Muslim consumer protection statute. And they lobbied for the Institution of Islamic Prayers, recited, of course, by imams, in both chambers of the state legislature. This is Texas, folks. You know, this is not Massachusetts. It is not California. It is not New York. It's a red state. By the way, Elibarary was a guest speaker at a December 2004 conference in Dallas. It was titled A Tribute to the Great Islamic Visionary, and it was held in honor of the Ayatollah Khomeini. When a reporter asked Ilibarri to explain why he had chosen to appear at that event, Ilibarri claimed to not have known in advance that the conference's about the conference's agenda. Okay, whatever. In a 2006 letter to the Dallas Morning News, Ilibarri defended the anti-American Muslim Brotherhood leader and theorist Sayyid Quth. That's Q-U-T-H. Here's Ilibarri's actual comment. I'd recommend everybody read Quth, but read him with an eye to improving America, not just to be jealous with malice in our hearts. Gee, what would that improvement be? We have a constitution. I guess we improve it by moving towards Sharia? I don't know. I'll let you figure that out. In October 2011, Ilibarri was given access to highly sensitive DPS databases, the Homeland Security State and Local Intelligence Community Interest. It's called HSLLCC. I'm not going to bore you with all their friggin' acronyms. It drives me crazy. But it contained hundreds of thousands of intelligence reports, which were solely put together to aid law enforcement agencies. In fact, this gentleman, Ilibarri, was the only Homeland Security Advisory Council member out of 26 members who was permitted to review those reports. In November of 2011, Ilibarri, his access was revoked because he used this highly classified information to try and stir up this national foment about supposed Islamophobia. In October 2013, Ilibarri said, I quote, "I do consider the United States of America an Islamic country with an Islamically compliant constitution." In other words, in his worldview, Sharia law and the constitution have the same values and principles. That should make all you women really happy because, you know, Sharia holds women in such high esteem. It gives you so many choices, girls. You think you're going to be getting your free birth control pills under Obamacare? Think again. So, Ilibarri also talked about his close friend, and that is the former Holy Land Foundation president and CEO, Shukri Abu Baker, who, by the way, just happened to be convicted in 2008 of financing the terrorist organization Hamas and was incarcerated. He said that his buddy, Abu Baker, you know, the guy that was convicted, was in fact just the innocent victim of political persecution. All right. We have another guy, Hashad Hussain, H-U-S-S-A-I-A-N. That's A-I-N, H-U-S-S-A-I-N. Please Google him up. Special envoy to the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Oh, wow. Sounds pretty important, and actually it is. He was named Deputy Associate Counsel to President Barack Obama in 2009. Deputy Associate Counsel. Sharia law, attorney, advisor to the president, appointed by the president. Wasn't this the president who said, "Judge me by who I associate with"? I think so. And he was appointed by Obama as the special envoy to the Organization of Islamic Conference in 2010. In October of 2000, this gentleman, Hussein, spoke at a conference. It was sponsored by the Association of Muslim Social Scientists and Georgetown Universities. Well, you know, here's our academics in the mix again. Prince Alawid Center for Muslim Christian Understanding. I mean, all this stuff just makes you want to puke, doesn't it? I mean, all these warm, fuzzy terms that mask dark, malevolent type things. It does me. It was this conference, by the way, was titled Islam pluralism and democracy. Guess who was? Guess who attended the conference with this gentleman who is special envoy and special deputy counsel to the President of the United States? Well, let's see. You had numerous leaders of the Global Muslim Brotherhood. Luay Safi, that's S-A-F-I. Jamal Barzinji, that's B-A-R-Z-I-N-J-I. Hisham al-Talib, that's T-A-L-I-B, and Abdul Hamid Abu Sulaiman. Now, that seems to be a pretty strong dot on Muslim Brotherhood stuff, don't you think? So, let's talk about Salam al-Marayate. His last name, by the way, is spelled A-L-M-A-R-A. Y-A-T-I. That's M-A-R-A-Y-A-T-I. Please, Google him up. Another appointee of Obama and Jared. Obama advisor and founder of the Muslim Public Affairs Council and its current executive director, I might add. He accused the Israelis of responsibility for the 9/11 attacks. He is an avowed Hamas and Hezbollah sympathizer. Now, guys, we're paying this guy's salary. He was appointed by the President of the United States. Do you see anything that's kind of out of place here? What do you think? So, Al-Marayate is the founder of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, MPAC. It's based in Los Angeles. Gee, one of these other guys came from Los Angeles, too. Los Angeles and Chicago, two hotbeds of American values, don't you think? And the MPAC is a Muslim Islamist advocacy group. It defends Muslim extremist violence. It has condemned the anti-terrorism measures of both the United States and Israel. And it's called for repeal of the Patriot Act. On the afternoon of September 11th, 2001, that is the afternoon of the Twin Towers coming down, Marayate used a Los Angeles talk radio program as his forum, and he accused the Israelis of that morning's attacks on New York and Washington. Once again, you can't make this up, right? He's also called for the U.S. to unfreeze the assets of two Islamic charities, the Global Relief Foundation and the Holy Land Foundation. Gee, we just heard that one, didn't we? That were shut down by the government because of funding they had given to terrorist organizations. He refuses to call Hezbollah a terrorist group. Quote, I don't think any group should be judged 100% on this or that. I think every group is going to have its claims of liberation and resistance. And he's also justified Hamas's existence as a political entity that, quote, promotes social programs and educational operations, like bombing and stabbings of Israeli citizens. Those must be his definition of educational operations. He's also said yesterday's terrorists in the Middle East are today's leaders. The PLO is the number one example of this. This is all quotes from the guy that's high up in our government, folks, that was appointed by Barack Hussein Obama. Then we have another gentleman here, and it's Hanam Mohammed Majid. That's Mohammed Majid, M-A-G-I-D. He was also appointed by Obama and Jared. Imagine this. This is Obama's Sharia czar. He is a Sharia czar. Did you know that? From the Islamic Society of North America. Direct link to Obama himself, by the way. This guy is a leader of a group that specifically in its white paper does not like the United States Constitution or Americans. He was president of the Islamic Society of North America. He accused the Bush administration of waging a war against Islam and Muslims. He says that the media references jihad as holy war constitute a misuse of that term. He was named by Obama to Obama's Department of Homeland Security in 2011. This is after doing and saying all this other stuff. He persuaded the Department of Homeland Security, this is really the guy that's responsible, to erase from its countering violent extremism curriculum. This is for the FBI, the CIA, etc., Department of Homeland Security folks. Any suggestion that Muslim terrorism draws its inspiration from the laws and doctrines of Islam. Really? Let's see, what did our president say before he, or after he called them JVs? Oh yes, that's right. The Islamic State is not Islamic. ISIS are not Islamists. Wow. And Kerry, by the way, parrots him because Kerry's a sop. So, federal agents in 2002 raided the offices of a number of Northern Virginia-based Muslim organizations, including these two that were shut down, on suspicions they were providing, you know, support to terrorists. And was that operation was called Operation Green Quest. It was the largest investigation of terror financing ever conducted anywhere in the world. Majid held a public meeting. In fact, it was held in the town of Sterling, for those of you who want to get down to real details. And he encouraged, quote, community building amongst the groups that were being investigated. And he invited Kit Gage of the National Coalition to Protect Political Freedom, Mahdi Bray, the political advisor for the Muslim Public Affairs Council, and Nihad Awad, the pro-Hamas executive director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And what he told that gathering was, quote, "This is a war against Islam and Muslims. Our administration, the Bush administration, has the burden of proving otherwise." So we do? Really? Wow. Anyway, folks, I'm not going to give you a real long show because I am in the Apple. But why don't we just say that I think I've given you many completely substantiated, check them out yourself, dots over the last several shows. Obama's acts and acts and lack of acts speak for themselves. They are what they are. He said what he said. He did what he did. He didn't do what he didn't do. He lied about what he lied about. It is what it is. And what he's done at the top levels of the United States government, if you combine my previous shows with this one, I think will give you at least a partial flavor, because it's far more insidious than just this tip of the iceberg information that I'm giving you. Next week, I'm going to be talking about what's happening to the middle class in America relative to the middle class in other Western nations. You're going to find it pretty fascinating, and it ain't good. And no, we're not number one. How about we're last? Wait till you see these stats. And we're going to be talking about, and it's going to kind of tie in a little bit to this week, the Obama administration through Loretta Lynch announcing a global police force to fight extremism in U.S. cities. In other words, the Obama administration, completely illegal, no congressional input, completely unconstitutional, is actually working with the U.N. for a United Nations police force to be in certain American cities to fight extremism. Now, remember, we just talked about Obama's Muslim advisors and appointees appointed by Obama, Jared, etc., or appointed by Obama's department heads at Obama's directive, removing all references to Islamic extremism, jihad, you name it, from training manuals of the folks who are supposed to protect us. I'm just going to give you a little taste of next week, so you can kind of look forward to it, if there is such a thing as looking forward to this kind of information. What has been removed from our security apparatus training curriculum has been replaced by such things as, this is the new definition of extremism now. Once again, I'm not making this up. Those that talk about individual liberties, those that advocate for state rights, those that want to make the world a better place, those who believe that the colonists sought to free themselves from British rule, those that are interested in defeating the communists. I'm going to give you the whole list next week. There's 50 items in here, and I think you'll find yourself on about 30 of them. I think I find myself on about 50 of them. It boggles the mind. So, you progressives out there, you can spin this any way you want. It's the facts, Jack. 2 plus 2 is 4. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal reporting to you from the Big Apple on this Saturday in October, and I can't wait to be back at the ranch. We'll talk to you next week with some more scintillating information. You have a great week.